Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Robinson v. California holds that status-based punishment schemes are categorically cruel and unusual under the Eighth Amendment. The challenged ordinances inflict status-based punishment in both effect and purpose. Although the city describes its ordinances as punishing camping on public property, it defines campsite as any place a homeless person is while covered with a blanket. The city interprets and applies the ordinances to permit non-homeless people to rest on blankets in public parks, while a homeless person who does the same thing breaks the law. The ordinances, by design, make it physically impossible for homeless people to live in Grants Pass without facing endless fines and jail time.
This is Kelsey Corcoran. She is the attorney representing the plaintiffs. Actually, one of the plaintiffs has died since this lawsuit was filed. Kind of a sad story. The homeless people that were, you know, given fines under the Grants Pass scheme in Oregon that makes it illegal for somebody to camp in public, which their definition of camp means to, you know, sleep with the assistance of some device, which could be a car, which could be a tent, which could be a pillow or a blanket. And, you know, that's what they were dealing with. And that's what was at the Supreme Court yesterday. I told you it's a big case because all of the various regulations that have been passed or tried to be passed relating to regulating the homeless and getting them basically out of our hair is, you know, most people would just want to, we don't mind them being homeless. Just, I don't want to have to see them. And I don't have to, you know, hear from them. I don't want to have to encounter them. I want them to be somewhere else. And of course the problem is, well, where else, you know, where are they going to go? Where else are they going to go? And, you know, what does that exactly look like? And in Grants Pass, generally the answer is, well, some other city. Well, that's not an answer, because what if everybody makes laws like this? What if the states, you know, decide to make laws like this?
The thing that I think is important to keep in mind in this is, if Grants Pass can do this, so could every other city. So could a state do it statewide. And eventually a homeless person would have no place to be.
I mean, that's kind of, you know, what Florida has done, right? That you can't have public camping starting October 1st. And, you know, everybody's got to enforce that. And if they don't enforce it, you can take a cause of action against them. That was Edwin Needler. He is the Deputy U.S. Solicitor General for the Department of Justice, talking about this as well. But back to Kelsey Corcoran, who I thought was actually, of the three attorneys, I thought the attorney for Grants Pass was pretty good. I thought that the attorney for the Department of Justice, Edwin Needler, he was actually terrible. He was not clear. He did not have great points that he made. He wound up getting himself kind of turned around a couple of times. And it's, you know what you expect at the Supreme Court is, you expect the best. You know, people, the reason I listen to Supreme Court oral arguments is not just to cover it for the show, but because it's the highest quality, most relevant philosophy being done in the country. That's what it is. It's the best of the best talking about the most interesting issues, right? And so you expect very, very good lawyering. And so whenever you get not great lawyering, it's very noticeable. And sometimes you can tell that the justices are like, okay, I'm done. You've not done well here. Anyway, so back to Kelsey Corcoran talking about why this law is a mistake under the Eighth Amendment prohibition on cruel and unusual punishment.
The only question under Robinson is whether there's any meaningful difference.
By the way, I should explain. Robinson is the precedent. And in that precedent, California had a law banning being a drug addict in California. And the Supreme Court said you can't ban being a drug addict because it's a status. You can ban people using illegal drugs, but you cannot ban the status of being addicted to drugs. And so the rule was that came down was, you cannot make it illegal to be a thing, but you can make it illegal to do a thing, as long as do a thing is not automatically the same as be a thing. Okay? So that's the issue here, is whether the activities of camping, for example, are every homeless person does this, therefore you've really criminalized homelessness, or like breaking into a store, not every homeless person does that, only some do, and therefore it's okay to criminalize. That's the essential question in this case.
The only question under Robinson is whether there's any meaningful difference between a law that says being homeless is punishable and a law that says being homeless while breathing or sleeping or blinking is punishable. In other words, does adding a universal human attribute to the definition of the offense make the punishment conduct-based instead of status-based? The answer is no. The purpose and effect of the second statute is exactly the same as the first, to make people with the status endlessly and unavoidably punishable if they don't leave Grants Pass.
If you're going to punish every homeless person who sleeps in public, you're punishing every homeless person for being homeless. Just like if you passed a law that said, you know, homeless people who breathe in a park, well, no, we're targeting the action of breathing. You have to breathe to be alive. You're punishing people for being alive and homeless, you know? And sleeping is a human activity that everybody engages in. And not just, you know, sleeping, but other things as well. The most unpleasant kinds of human behavior are things that everybody not only does, but has to do. And that came up in this case as well. We'll get back to this in just a second. Jimmy's got traffic on the fives.
If you were on North County Road in 95A and Cedar Tree Lane in Cantonment, there was a roadblock with a vehicle crash with a roadblock earlier, so please drive with caution. Otherwise, we're looking good. I-10 and I-110 are all looking good, not showing any slowdowns on Pine Forest or in Carr City, and Mobile Highway is clear through Beulah. If you see anything we should be reporting on, please call or text our traffic tip line at 437-1620. I'm Jimmy with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, Jimmy. Back to the conversation about homelessness. And, you know, we talk about sleeping. They had a conversation about whether you could outlaw eating in public. Because, obviously, homeless people eat in public. Because where else can they eat? They don't have homes. That's, by definition, what they are, right? And so that's the question. Is it a status or is it a behavior? Well, it's a behavior that is 100% engaged in by everybody in the status. So it starts to look like you're actually targeting the status and targeting the people who are of that status. Therefore, it's discriminatory is not quite the right term in this legal application of the Eighth Amendment, but that's you might think of it that way. It's discrimination against people on the basis of them being homeless. But what about things like, you know, using the restroom? That's everybody does that, and if you don't have a place to do it that you call your own, then guess where you do it?
Respect to public urination and defecation, if you had a, I don't think this would ever exist, but if you had a law that said homeless people cannot urinate or defecate anywhere within city limits, I think then it starts to look like this case. But if you're saying that people can't urinate or defecate on public property, it's hard to imagine a situation where
to go. So a homeless person, there's no facilities available, and a homeless person has no place else to go.
There are commercial establishments. I don't know that anyone's pointed to a jurisdiction where you truly don't have access. But if we
what's the constitutional principle?
Right.
Take my hypothetical. Say there's not commercial establishments, don't want non-patrons coming in to use the facilities. There are no public facilities, and it's a generally applicable rule that says no public urination.
So I think there, one distinction between urination and defecation and sleeping is that sleeping outside is part of the definition of homelessness, right? Homelessness is lacking a fixed regular nighttime address. So the sleeping prohibition goes more directly to the status of homelessness than urination or defecation.
So lots of thoughts about this interchange with Amy Coney Barrett, and lots of interesting parts of this. One part I think is, if you're going to define homelessness as not having a place to sleep, the more I thought about this, I think you could define homelessness as not having a place to pee. I mean, if you really think about what are the core functions that your house or apartment allows you access to, yeah, having a place to lay down and sleep is certainly one. Having a place to, you know, wash up and use the restroom is also clearly one. Having a place where you can take off your clothes legally, right? Inside your home, fine. Outside your home, not so fine. Well, homeless people don't have a place to change. And I mention that only because I think just the value to me of this case, and I'm going to say this all day when we talk about this, is not so much necessarily what ruling the Supreme Court comes down with. I actually think that the law in Florida is probably going to survive whatever rule they write because of the availability of the campgrounds that, you know, the municipality can set up. We'll see. Okay, this ruling is relevant to Florida and Pensacola when it ultimately comes down. I just think that we have this conversation about homelessness a lot. Because we have lots of them, okay? And I don't think we always think so well about this topic. And I want us to, one of my goals for this show is, even if we don't come to agreements or solutions, I just want us to do better. as citizens in thinking about things and being humane and being, you know, moral and being rational. And so to me, this conversation is very useful. For example, it made me think through, well, what is it about a home that I have access to that homeless people don't? And of course, I mean, every homeless person knows this. Every homeless advocate, Michael Kimbrell would be laughing at me if he's listening. He's like, oh, Andrew, you just figured out that homeless people don't have a place to pee, right? Well, of course. But that's a pretty vital function of a home. Place to eat, place to sleep, place to be naked, change clothes, place to pee, right? Okay? Where you can't get in trouble. And another observation I have here is, I don't know her past exactly, but every once in a while when you're listening to the Supreme Court oral arguments or anything, even if people don't tell you that they have done a thing, you can kind of figure it out. And I think that Amy Coney Barrett has done a lot of volunteer work in the past, and I think that she's worked with homeless shelters. I think that she's worked with food kitchens. I seem to vaguely remember that from her Senate questioning. But the way she talks about this seems to me the kind of way a person who's thought about and interacted with this population more than the average might ask these questions. And I say that to say that, I mean, I have tremendous respect for her as a woman, as a wife, as a mother, as a jurist, okay? She's amazing. But also just kind of that human being side that is important to bring to the Supreme Court. It's the kind of question she asks that makes the court better off when she's pushing on this claim. Because even, it's kind of funny, because even the lawyer who is representing the homeless people is kind of missing the point about having a place to pee and saying, well, you know, that might be different because there's restaurants or shops or whatever. You can't just go in there. They all have signs. They'll trespass you. Not every time, but they want to, because they don't want homeless people using their facilities. And this is kind of on this topic, last thing I want to mention is, it's very easy to take for granted the privileges that you have as a citizen with resources and means and a place in society. If you have a job and you have a car and you have a house and you have a family and you there's a lot you take for granted, okay? And one of the things that you take for granted is you can go into any restaurant you want. And listen, if you need to use somebody's restroom, you just go into the gas station and you say, you know, where's the restroom? Or you just go to the back where it is. And if you need a key, you ask for the key. And you wouldn't think, and if somebody said, well, are you buying anything? You'd be like, buying? What's wrong with you? Everybody goes to gas stations and McDonald's and uses the bathroom. What's the problem? Well, for some people, that's a problem. Right? For some people, based on the way they look, being able to go into the gas station or the McDonald's is not so easy for them, or the restaurant, right? You take that for granted. Just like, it's a different case, but like my wife and I, we go bicycling all the time, you know? And one of the things that we have to encounter when we drive to places and then go bicycle is, where do you park? And sometimes you find a school or a park or, you know, a big public, a big parking lot like at Walmart. Okay, fine. You know, some of those are entitlements and some of those you kind of just know that nothing's going to happen. But a lot of times we park on the side of the road. Sometimes it's in neighborhoods, sometimes it's not. And we've had encounters with people who get angry at us. Some really, really angry sometimes. And we're never trying to irritate people, but you know, you can try and you don't always succeed. But it occurred to me the other day that I'm like, you know, I kind of take for granted that I should be entitled to go drive somewhere and find a place to park. Like, there should be a place to put my car. Well, maybe it's good for me to experience a little bit of that irritation, because it's a little teeny tiny taste of what it's like all the time for homeless people who don't have an entitlement or a place to go, you know, and a little bit of sympathy, a little bit of, you know, teeny tiny slice of what they experience on a daily basis. And so what I have valued about listening to the oral arguments in this case is, on a subject that we talk about a lot, I've learned some things, I've had to think about some things, and it kind of, it's forcing me to encounter the subject in a richer way. And that's why I'm sharing it with you, because I think that's a good thing for all of us. 624 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you are thinking about, speaking of cars, which, you know, most of you drive, that's how you're listening to me right now. If you're thinking about that next vehicle, Frontier Motors is a great place to go look for the good quality used car, one that's going to have low miles, great condition, be a year or two or three old, and, you know, you can buy it and drive it for an awfully long time. That's the kind of car they specialize in. And then they stand by them after the fact. You know, if there's any issue, I mean, it's basically that they'll take care of you. I know because they've had other people and myself and followed up afterwards. So great service, even after the sale. The reason I talk about them is because I had a great experience and I want you to have a good experience too. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years. Behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi. 625, Jimmy's got traffic on the fives.
We are looking all green in Pensacola this morning. I-10 and I-110 are all looking good. If you're coming in from Gulf Breeze and Navarre, should not experience any delays. And Pace and Milton is looking good as well. If you see anything on our on the roads, please call or text our traffic tip line, 437-1620. I'm Jimmy with your traffic on the fives.
Join Travis Thompson with Climatech of Professional Air, an American Standard heating and air conditioning independent customer care dealer in the Pensacola area, on the Pensacola Expert Panel, Thursday at 9:30. Join in as Travis discusses how you can lower your energy bill and create a healthy, comfortable home. Join him Thursday morning at 9:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Pensacola Habitat for Humanity invites all executives and business leaders to join Executive Build 2024. Be a part of a unique construction build site experience while empowering your business and investing in our local community. This is your chance to show compassion and support within your community or organization. Roll up your sleeves with other Escambia and Santa Rosa County leaders for Pensacola Habitat for Humanity Executive Build on April 26th. Reserve your spot. See pensacolahabitat.org/execbuild for more information.
Let's be honest, nobody likes taxes, but they are necessary to maintain roads, support schools, and fund public services. Wouldn't it be great if someone else paid our taxes? In Escambia County, they do. Our beautiful community draws millions of visitors who spend over $1 billion each year. The taxes they pay help lower the tax burden for locals. Tourism works for all residents and businesses in Escambia County. This message brought to you by Visit Pensacola.
News Radio 92.3 gets you live programming every day from 5 a.m. until 7 p.m. on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Guess what? I got a fever. And the only prescription is more cowbell.
Good morning, 627 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Having this conversation about homelessness with the Supreme Court oral arguments yesterday in the Grants Pass case, somebody texts in and says, another key function of a home is a place to store your valuables. You know, when you're a transient, you know, where do you put your stuff? You're trying to accumulate some stuff to take care of needs, and then where do you put it? You know, and what if the code enforcement people come and take it? Or what if somebody steals it? Or, you know, all of that is relevant. No, all true. Yeah, there are a lot of functions of having a home that you take for granted, right? 628, David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
The judge in former President Donald Trump's case will decide today if he's violated his gag order, barring him from criticizing anybody connected to the case. Prosecutors want him fined $3,000. The Senate expected to pass a $95 billion aid package for Ukraine, Israel, and Taiwan this week. Senate leaders aiming to quickly pass that legislation. And NASA says they've restored contact with Voyager 1. It's currently about...
Voyager?
Yes.
No, it's from the old Star Trek movie. That was where
Voyager
1 comes all the way back, and, you know, this super intelligent being is, you know, when they...
Right, it's gained sentience.
Voyager,
and all that.
That's right.
Yeah.
Voyager is Voyager. Go on, I'm
I
listening.
Remember that.
You have my attention.
Well, it's currently about 15.1 billion miles from Earth. No word if it's gained sentience and all that yet, but it may.
Well, it's not going to tell us right away.
Right. Scientists were able to restore contact after they'd been receiving only unusable garbled data since last November. It's now starting to return data again about the health and status of its onboard engineering systems. So NASA says the issue is with a single microchip on its onboard flight data system computer. They were able to remotely move system code to a different memory section on that computer. And then it took about 24 hours from sending that command to find out if it worked. And it did. So now they're receiving usable data again, and they expect it to start sending science data back again soon.
I'm wrapping my brain around just the very idea of there being a microchip on Voyager 1. 1977.
Right.
1977 technology. Not the most advanced.
It had to be when they were first developed.
Yeah, I mean, that's... I'm trying to think of... God, what was... You know, what was the state of technology in 1977? So I would have been six. You know, I don't think, like, the TRS-80 existed yet. That was maybe two or three or four years later. I mean, this is, like, just the idea of there being a microchip. It's kind of amazing to me to think about. Not the most potent computer, probably, on V'ger.
Definitely not.
Also, if she is sentient, I would send back garbled messages, too, and just kind of see, you know, test the field.
It's toying
with
us.
See how they respond. Yeah.
Fox News, I'm Gianna Gelosi. Police swept the campus of NYU last night, arresting pro-Palestinian protesters. The sentiment, though, sweeping college campuses. Others were arrested at Yale, and Columbia's classes are going to be hybrid for the rest of the semester. Harvard Yard shut to the public yesterday. Former President Donald Trump returning to court today in his hush money case.
This is a Biden witch hunt.
Mr. Trump speaking yesterday, his press secretary, Caroline Leavitt, on Fox's Hannity.
There is no crime that brought this case to this courtroom. It would have been laughed out of any other courtroom in America if not being brought by far-left district attorney Alvin Bragg, overseen by a Democrat judge who donated money to Joe Biden's campaign.
A judge is also going to decide if the former president violated the gag order. The DA claims he did so 10 times. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 6:31 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Right now, 51 degrees, clear skies in Pensacola this morning. Well, animosity between two Escambia County commissioners spilled out for all to see yesterday. Commissioners Jeff Bergosh and Mike Kohler accusing each other of possible sunshine violations while enjoying an adult beverage.
Do you want to go down in the gutter? We'll go ahead and do that when you threaten.
No, I'm telling the truth.
Drinking beer because I wouldn't vote for you and you told me I had the votes. Remember that?
That's a lie. That never happened.
Mine's a lie. He's right. But that's actually what happened. You had your phone on while you at Seville while you were telling me because I didn't vote for you.
I've got a phone record of you calling me.
You have a phone record of being at Seville Quarter where you said,
no,
I have the votes?
Nope.
Oh, come on, man.
And all of that starting during a discussion over whether the county should pay $5,000 in legal fees to former EMS employee Catherine Kenny. Ultimately, the board voted 3-1 in favor of paying those fees. Kenny had been accused of falsifying training records, however, agreed to a pretrial diversion settlement with the Department of Health. Kohler disagreed with paying those fees and said he planned to write letters to the DOH and the governor's office over why no Escambia County commissioner was held accountable. Well, animal rights organization PETA now taking aim at one of our popular events here in the area, the Floribama Mullet Toss. That's actually happening this weekend. According to Channel 3, PETA proposing alternatives to tossing the mullet fish in the Mullet Toss. In a letter to Floribama co-owner John McInnes, PETA said, in part, quote, "What if you make it all-inclusive by using a fancy rubber fish instead of smelly, decomposing real ones?" The letter went on to say that if Floribama agreed to switch to rubber fish, the organization would potentially cater the event with vegan fish sandwiches. There's no word on a response from the Floribama on that as of yet. The Florida High School Athletic Association considering a plan to sanction competitive video gaming.
Yeah, the organization met in Gainesville yesterday to discuss the potential interest of offering esports programs. They reviewed results of a recent survey that went out to more than 400 schools, and more than half showed interest. Nearly two dozen states have already sanctioned esports in their schools, and that includes Alabama and Georgia. The FHSAA says it's still in the early stages of that process. Joe Ford, News Radio 92.3.
Thank you very much, Joe. A Pensacola couple wondering what to do next after a devastating house fire near downtown. The Yanistra home on Palafox was built all the way back in 1906. It was bought a few years ago by Chloe Kelly and her husband. They were in the process of making some renovations when the fire last week caused a lot of damage.
We're at a loss of where to go from here. We've poured everything into this home, and unfortunately, we just don't have the financial means by ourselves to go and rebuild it.
And to make matters worse, their insurance company recently dropped them. They were in the process of finding new insurance coverage. Well, Governor Ron DeSantis announcing $500 million in new funding for restoration of Florida's Everglades and water quality improvements yesterday. He says that investment will benefit the state for decades now to come. The governor said this brings the total investment into the Everglades restoration to $6.5 billion since he took office. 6:35 at News Radio, and Jimmy's got our traffic on the fives.
This traffic report is sponsored by Bank of America. We are looking all green here in Pensacola this morning. I-10 and I-110 are all looking good, not showing any delays on Burgess or Olive, and Gulf Beach Highway not showing any delays. If you see anything, please call or text our traffic tip line at 437-1620. Bank of America has powerful digital solutions for local and global businesses, so you can make every move matter. Visit bankofamerica.com/banking for business. To learn more, Bank of America, NA, copyright 2024. I'm Jimmy with your traffic on the fives.
We will have a beautiful sunny day today with temperature warming up near 74 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 57. Nice sunny weather continues for Wednesday with a high near 78. Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 59. Beautiful and sunny for Thursday with a high near 78 and a low near 65. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you, Brooke. And it is 51 in Pensacola, 55 in Gulf Breeze, and 45 in Milton right now. Our next news at 7. We have breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Billionaire donors like Robert Kraft and Leon Cooperman are weighing their support for Columbia University amid rising tensions over pro-Palestinian protests and reports of anti-Semitic speech. Kraft said he is not comfortable supporting Columbia until the administration takes harsher action against the demonstrations. Cooperman said he is uncomfortable with the situation, but still plans to continue his contributions to Columbia's business school. The FTC has sued to block Tapestry's $8.5 billion acquisition of Capri Holdings. Regulators say the deal would put six major brands under a single company, which includes Tapestry's Coach, Kate Spade, Jimmy Choo, Michael Kors, and more. The FTC said the combined company would harm shoppers and employees because of anti-competitive practices. The deal was expected to close this year. Futures are slightly higher. That's Your Money Now.
I'm still going for it, even with higher stroke risk from atrial fibrillation and a regular heartbeat not caused by a heart valve problem. Over a three-year study, Eliquis apixaban tablets reduced stroke risk better than warfarin, and over 97% of Eliquis patients did not experience a stroke. A first stroke occurred in 2.9% of warfarin patients versus 2.3% of Eliquis patients.
Don't stop taking prescription Eliquis without asking your doctor. It may increase your stroke risk. Eliquis can cause serious and, in rare cases, fatal bleeding. Don't take Eliquis if you have an artificial heart valve, abnormal bleeding, or antiphospholipid syndrome. While taking, you may bruise more easily or take longer for bleeding to stop. A spinal injection while on Eliquis increases risk of blood clots, which may cause paralysis, the inability to move. Get medical help right away for unexpected bleeding, unusual bruising, or tingling, numbness, or muscle weakness. Medications such as aspirin products, NSAIDs, SSRIs, SNRIs, and blood thinners may increase bleeding risk. Tell your doctor about all planned medical or dental procedures. Learn more at Eliquis.com or call 1-855-ELIQUIS.
Join Ballet Pensacola's new artistic director, Stefano Candrivra, Thursday at 10 a.m. with guest dancers from Ballet Pensacola's upcoming performance of The Sleeping Beauty. Tickets are online at balletpensacola.org. From May 3rd through May 5th, shows at the Sanger Theater. Don't miss this classic story of Princess Aurora, cursed with 100 years of sleep. The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
You're a storyteller, negotiator, artist, innovator. Whatever your passion, whatever your skills, behind the scenes or in front, you belong here. A career in broadcast media. Local radio and TV stations in every town and city need someone like you. So do what you love and bring your talent to life. Your passion, your skills, your career. You belong here. Learn more at youbelonghere.media.
News Radio Pensacola has you covered no matter where you are or how you like to listen. Tune into our frequencies on 92.3 FM, 95.3 FM, and AM 1620 for the latest breaking news, local updates, and in-depth analysis. Can't be near a radio? No problem. Stream us live on our website or through our convenient app. Available for download on your mobile device. Plus, with our smart device integration, you can ask your virtual assistant to play News Radio 92.3 and we'll be right there with you. It's News Radio Pensacola.
Thank you and to the everyone on the dais and the staff for welcoming me here. It feels a little odd because I think this was my lunchroom. I graduated in 1974 and it feels like this is it. I am a retired clinical social worker. I grew up in the schools in Escambia County. I graduated from Washington in 1974, but have lived in Santa Rosa County for 45 years. I'm married to the retiring county administrator, 15 days. and my children went to school in that school district, a wonderful school district.
15 days, but who's counting? This is Jan Cook. She is the wife of retiring Santa Rosa County Administrator Devan Cook. And this was at the Escambia County School Board meeting last week. And since that was last week and now today is today, that means that we are under a week to go in his tenure as county administrator. Devan Cook joins us for what sadly will be the last time as this role. Devan, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Good morning, Andrew.
Hey, I thought I would surprise you with playing your wife as an intro bumper. Did I do okay with that?
That's great, yeah.
If you're the husband that I believe you are, you just always like to hear your wife's voice. I know I do. My wife, by the way, not your wife. just so we're clear about that. Okay, so let's start there. 7 days, you're done next, what, Tuesday, I guess, the 30th, although you're going to be on leave for a little while after that. And Brad Baker is going to be voted on Thursday to be the replacement officially?
That's correct. They have it's on the agenda to approve his contract as county administrator effective May 1st.
All right, very good. What's your plan? Do you have a plan yet?
No plan. Want to travel and spend some time with family.
That sounds very sensible and wonderful. Let's talk about what is going to be on the agenda Thursday, the stuff that you guys talked about yesterday, or your board talked about yesterday. One is a program called Strive that is designed to help small businesses. Is that right?
That's correct. It's a program that we actually had used several years ago and have decided to bring it back. And it's a program where small businesses can get up to $10,000. Of course, it's a match. They have to match 100%. But they can get up to $10,000 for improvements to the appearance of their building, their business, and their signage. And so if that's approved Thursday, that will probably start in June.
Okay. So this is like, I know Milton has the facade program. It's something in that basic direction is, the whole community benefits when business frontage looks better, because when it looks better, people are more comfortable going there to shop. We all make money. We all make tax money. It's all good. That's kind of the general idea.
Correct. And, this will be something that's sponsored through our economic development department.
Got it.
A lot of people think they only focus on bringing industry in, but we also want to be sure we stay focused on the local companies, the small businesses in the county. They're equally important. So that's part of the program, is to be sure we stay focused on those type businesses.
Well, I mean, in the military, it's recruit and retain, right? And retain involves everybody who's already in. You don't want to only get in new customers. You want to, or residents, basically. You want to retain the ones that you've got. That makes perfect sense. The whole issue with the clerk of the court, with the comptroller and the check, and then the money that got stolen through access from an email account. You guys have reissued the check, is my understanding, or you're going to reissue. what's the outcome here? The story itself was a bit confusing to me to begin with. What are we doing now?
Well, we obviously needed to pay the contractor for the work they had done. They didn't receive their first payment. We have law enforcement and the banking investigators looking into the funds. We believe we're going to recover a significant amount of that money that had not already been moved to a place that we couldn't recover it. So it's an ongoing investigation. And, it's something that'll play out over the next few months. But the board determined and voted yesterday that they want to go ahead and make this contractor whole. And then we'll work with law enforcement on the recovery.
So I had understood, the way I had interpreted the story was that it was something on the contractor's end that had been breached, that it was sort of their fault that this happened. Is that not accurate? If the county is doing this, are we doing it because we can, because it's our way of helping, because we're in the process of recovering, or because we feel obligated?
Well, the work has been done.
Yeah.
It's work in Metron Estates. And, at this point, there's still a lot of information that's needed to determine, exactly where, if any, fault lies. So we felt like it was the best thing to do to go ahead, and this is a small contractor. We wanted to go ahead and work with them and make them whole at this point.
Do we have insurance to cover this kind of thing?
We have submitted a claim to our insurance company. We do have, through one of our coverages, cyber insurance, which this was technically through, the internet.
Okay.
We haven't been given any confirmation that it will be covered, but we have submitted it. And we hope there'll be, any of the funds that aren't recovered, we're hoping they'll be covered by that policy.
Okay, so the best case scenario, we get all the funds back anyway. Next best case scenario, what we don't get back is covered by insurance, where there would be, I presume, some kind of a deductible or something like that. So a fairly negligible slice of the stolen money would actually be paid out by the county. And then if there turns out to be culpability by, for example, the contractor instead of by us, maybe at some point we come to a different settlement. But that's basically where we're at. Is that right?
That's right.
Okay, very good. We're talking to Devan Cook, Santa Rosa County Administrator. Devan, hang on for just a second. Jimmy's got traffic on the fives.
We are looking all good in Pensacola this morning. Just seeing some of that morning traffic, particularly building up in downtown from North Pensacola. If you see anything that we should be reporting on, please call or text our traffic tip line at 437-1620. I'm Jimmy with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, Jimmy. Back to Devan Cook, Santa Rosa County Administrator. The board is looking at starting up a summer internship program. This is something that Escambia County does very effectively. The city of Pensacola does very effectively. And the county, you guys looking at it in the county, is that right?
We are. This is an initiative by our Office of Budget Management. We've had some success with some interns and felt like it's a very good, opportunity for students to learn about the county and for us to give them, some experience. And so that's something that we hope to start if it's approved on Thursday. And, they would primarily be doing administrative work, but we also were going to have some opportunities for people that want to work out in the field, engine repair, construction work, and those kind of things, to see what kind of career path they may want to take.
Very cool. I think it's a great program, and obviously it gives kids exposure to career fields they wouldn't otherwise be interested in, gives them experience that they wouldn't otherwise get. We always need to, be reminding people that government is an option for employment and typically fairly stable. maybe not the elected official slice, but the other slice is relatively stable. Also, looking to get a $4 million grant related to the Whiting Aviation Park?
Yes, we're applying for an economic development grant for $4.2 million for some continued work out at the Whiting Aviation Park. That's a huge project for us, and we're very excited with Leonardo coming in, and we have other interest from companies that supply parts and materials for Leonardo and for the military. So that would be a tremendous grant if we can get that. So we are, after Thursday, we'll have the approval to apply for that grant.
And you're doing, is it work being done in Ashley Plantation where they had all that flooding previously? What's happening there?
We approved the contract for the work to be done, or the board will approve it on Thursday, to make the repairs in that subdivision. During one of the floods, they had a tremendous impact. The infrastructure, a lot of it was damaged or destroyed. So this contract will have allow the repairs to that subdivision.
Okay. Well, I'm sure for the people there, that's big welcome news. And then the last thing is the Woodbine Road improvements at Highway 90 have been started as of yesterday. Is that right? And do we expect lane closures throughout the process of adding the dedicated turn lane and, you know, adding some sidewalks and widening Woodbine at that intersection? What are we expecting in terms of traffic impact?
Well, we will have some, but one of the things that has been discussed all the way through this process is during this construction that traffic be minimally impacted. So, you know, that's one of our goals and one of the things we have stressed to the contractor and the company that will be overseeing it, that they need to do everything they can to avoid any lane closures, especially during peak periods.
Well, that's very good. I mean, you know, that would be the ideal. Of course, we know that realistically there are going to be times, but, you know, minimizing is good. And that's what, about a couple hundred days? That's about three quarters of a year, something like that is the duration?
I believe so, yeah.
Okay. Well, I feel like I should give you a hug goodbye. You've got about a week left on the board, and you know, you are as the county commissioner and or as the county administrator, and you know, you have been a fantastic resource in the time that I've known you as administrator, and you know, I certainly appreciate your service, and I just want to say thanks on behalf of the citizens who, you know, don't necessarily always think about the job that you do or the job that your people do and the, you know, skill and tact and, you know, great range of knowledge and experience that it takes to do it effectively. But, you know, everybody notices it when the job isn't being done well. And so maybe sometimes they don't notice it as much when it's being done properly. But, Devan, thank you for doing this job that not everybody wants to do, but you've been very good at it. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Andrew. It's been an honor and to do this job. And I certainly appreciate you and the interviews. It's always been a pleasure.
Well, you're very welcome, and you certainly deserve it. Devan Cook, soon to be former, but currently in his last week as the Santa Rosa County Administrator. Devan, we'll talk to you again soon, and God bless you in your retirement. 6:52 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
The celebration continues at Peakmore Imports during Volkswagen's 75th anniversary sales event. Drive the Volkswagen Tiguan, a spacious SUV with plenty of savings, like a $2,000 customer cash discount, or lock in 0% APR for 60 full months. And for VW's largest SUVs, the Atlas and Atlas Cross Sport, you can choose 1.9% APR for 60 months or a $3,000 customer cash discount. For 75 years, Volkswagen has delivered a lineup of vehicles much loved by generations. From the VW ID.4 EV, the VW Taos, the ever-popular Jetta sedan, and the GTI and Golf R performance cars, VW continues to deliver excitement today. So come to Peatmore Imports and celebrate with savings. 106 New Warrington Road, Pensacola.
Special APR rate for qualifying credit through VCI and a standalone offer in lieu of customer cash discounts. Must take retail delivery by April 30th. See dealer for details.
Hey, Kevin, how's the boat running?
Well, you know, last week I started working on the water pump, and now I can't remember how it goes back together.
Dude, stop. Call Key Marine. They'll get you and your Mercury outboard back in the water so we can go back to fishing again.
Key Marine gets the work done and lets you handle the fun. They'll fix any problem, big or small, even if the problem is you don't remember how the parts go back together. Key Marine, your Mercury outboard dealer on Bower Road in Pensacola.
Pizza's here.
Oh, great. I'd love some, but I'm worried about my stomach issues.
If you're worried about having diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, or loose, oily stools, it may not just be stomach issues. It could be a condition called exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, or EPI. With EPI, the pancreas doesn't release enough enzymes to break down food, but EPI is manageable. Use the symptom checker on identifyepi.com and talk to your doctor. That's identifyepi.com. Sponsored by AbbVie.
Bands on the Beach is back. Grab a lawn chair or towel and enjoy live music at the stage on Pensacola Beach. There's plenty of room to spread out and enjoy the sand, the sunset, and great live music every Tuesday night at 7. This week, Mass Confusion takes the stage, playing classic rock, Motown, smooth jazz, funk, country, and oldies, all in their own style. Grab a blanket or lawn chair, but don't bring any pets or glass, and get to Bands on the Beach every Tuesday night at 7 at the Gulfside Pavilion, thanks to the Santa Rosa Island Authority.
All the big national news in a conversation with Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins from 11 till 2 on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Quiet, numbskulls. I'm broadcasting.
Good morning, 6:55, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News, and we've got Jimmy with Traffic on the Fives. Jimmy?
We are looking all good in Pensacola this morning. Just a typical morning, congestion building up, particularly in downtown coming in from North Pensacola. So be cautious driving there. Construction on I-10 and Highway 29 will run every night from 8 p.m. to 6 a.m. Friday morning, so expect lane closures and delays. If you see anything else, please call or text our traffic tip line, 437-1620. I'm Jimmy with your Traffic on the Fives.
I feel like that regular morning congestion is what plagues me every time before I have my coffee.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely.
That's what that is. Yeah. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines this morning. David?
The Supreme Court has agreed to take up a major gun rights case involving ghost guns, which are made from kits and can be bought without a background check. The ATF recently changed the rules, giving the government more power to regulate those. The question now before the Supreme Court is whether the ATF has the power to change gun rules or if that has to come from Congress. The Port of Baltimore will be able to weather a limited closure of shipping traffic from the collapse of the Francis Scott Key Bridge. That, according to a new report by the Federal Reserve Bank of Richmond, businesses said they can manage a short-term disruption, but they expressed greater concerns about lead times and increased costs if it takes longer to reopen that.
That's good news. I mean, yeah,
absolutely.
A bit
yeah.
of good news anyway, for sure.
And Robert F. Kennedy Jr. wants to put the whole U.S. budget on blockchain if he gets elected. He said during a rally in Michigan over the weekend, it would allow any American to look at the budget at any time.
So this is going to make me look bad, but I don't mind. I have no idea what those words in that order mean.
Yeah, I don't either.
Okay, cool.
you're not alone.
We're going to put it on blockchain. You mean Mars?
Is it not already available somewhere else?
Is it not on the interweb?
Do we not have it in PDF form?
Exactly, exactly. What advantage in... Anyway, so yeah, so I'm just going to leave
it at
that.
What is this chain of blocks?
Exactly, right? Is it Legos? What are you talking
about? That sounds heavy.
What does this have to do with Bitcoin? I don't understand. And I'm just... Seriously, I'm just going to leave it right there. David, thanks so much for the update. 657 News Radio 92.3. Speaking of not this, but now speaking of this, Bounders is open in Pensacola. And I have been, you know me, okay? I try to tell you what's really going on. And for me, this is honestly, this was like the best restaurant news because we have been going to Bounders for years in Crestview. Every time we come back from some event elsewhere in Florida or vacation somewhere in Florida, or if we're in like Laurel Hill playing airsoft there, we come back through the north end, that we always stop. We always stop. And it is such good food. My boys, like, they like have to have it. Like, you cannot go by there without having it. It's fast casual Hawaiian. Okay. You can have teriyaki chicken, teriyaki steak, Kahlua pig. That's my order, with a side of white rice and macaroni salad. Oh, not got to get it today. Anyway, we went there the other day for my son's birthday. Oh, so good. And so reasonably priced. And now it is in the old Dickies location right across from Penny's and Academy Sports, right on North Davis Highway in the University Mall. Just fantastic food. They're not open Sunday or Monday. Okay, they're not open Sunday or Monday, so if you go, you got to go, you know, a different day. But they are just honestly, genuinely fantastic. Pounders Hawaiian Grill on North Davis Highway. 659 on News Radio 92.3. Future news. Supreme Court, been talking about this a lot today. Will the Supreme Court allow the Grants Pass ordinance criminalizing overnight camping by homeless people with a device, basically? That's how they classify it as camping. Will they allow that, or will they strike down that law or tinker with that law?
I think they'll just mess with the law.
I think they might offer a little bit of guidance, but I don't think they're going to strike it down. I think that the lean of the court is they're going to lead it. But, you know, I'm not sure. I think this is kind of an open question at this point.
Local news every hour and breaking news when it matters most. News Radio 92.3, WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.